And our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look in today's message, He knew, He foreknew what was going to happen to Him. He was only a few hours away from being taken away, arrested in the garden. And as we've been sojourning through this passage of John, Jesus says some remarkable things to what comfort us. The disciples were going through much sorrow. They were very confused. I don't like being confused. I think it's the devil's playground. I like to have a sharp mind, a tuned mind, and I like to make sense to myself, but sometimes life doesn't make any sense. As one author put it, then don't try to make any sense of it. Let go and let God. You know, that's why you can open up your hands, let go, and God can give you too a blessing today. And I pray that you have a blessing today. So as we look here, Jesus, we looked at last week, Jesus is saying, look, I'm going to send you a comforter, a helper, the Holy Spirit. And thank God, because once the Holy Spirit came during Pentecost, it had also pointed the way to Jesus. And that didn't happen until Acts chapter 2. But in the meantime, you know, and I did want to say one thing. Yes. And later on in John, remember when Jesus breathed upon them and said, you will receive the Spirit of Christ? Yes, remember the Spirit of the Holy Spirit came and went. So there's no contradiction in God's Word. It's all inspired. It's all inerrant Word of God. So Jesus says, I will give you a comforter. And the disciples were still confused because they were like, okay, wait a minute, Jesus. You're going to go, and when we need you the most, have you had that experience when you need somebody most, they're not there? I'm sure that's happened this past week. Or you're sweating all over and you're thinking, man, I need some help here. I don't know what's going on. God has ways of taking care of that. He's always there with us. He never leaves us. You know, as this old saying goes here, a knife is sharpened on a stone. Steel is tempered by fire, but men must be sharpened by men. And women must be sharpened by women. That's why it's so important. And the world doesn't get this clue that we fellowship because we have something in a common denominator that we have with one another in Jesus Christ. We need one another because we know, like it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that forsake not the assembling of yourselves. They, on the other hand, they were together with Jesus. So they had God in their midst. So let's look down here about turning our sorrow into joy, because this is going to be good. It says here in verse 16, you look at the Lord's prediction, a little while and you will not see me. And again, in a little while, you will see me because I go to the Father. So, twice he says that. Once is that, remember, he's going to be going to the cross. And it wasn't until the cross that they fully understand, and we talked about that last week, even his own family fully didn't understand who he was. It's amazing how God will just take those blinders off our eyes and show us the truth. And we're like, it was there, but I didn't understand it. Then he says, I will see you again. So once it happened there, remember he appeared for 40 days? For 40 days. And then, of course, what happened after that is that eventually the disciples were martyred, right? They were killed, and all of them were killed a martyr's death, except for John. And they will see him again one day in glory. We just had Sunday school class, and let me tell you, we're going through Revelation chapter 4. And we see that there are two types of stones mentioned that John saw in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And the one first one is jasper. That's like a reddish stone that talks about the redemption of Christ. Then there's sardis. There's like a bluish white stone is known, but it's clear as a diamond, and that speaks of royalty. And we see when we die, absent from the body, present with the Lord, what we'll see, who are we going to see first? We're going to see Lord Jesus Christ. And that emerald rainbow that circles around God's throne, and then we stop with the 24 seats, the elders that circle around God's throne. Fascinating study, and that refers to the church, but I'm not going to get into all that. But it's just a peek of view, the joy that we will have, an unspeakable joy, a joy that we cannot even fathom or even think of at this moment. But we do have joy in Jesus, and we have the power of the Spirit that gives us our strength. Our strength is in the joy of the Spirit. So, disciples were confused. Remember, God is not going to take away our sorrow. We are going to go through trials and tribulations. Like I said last week, the trials are those that happen in this world. Our pains, our anxieties, our issues. You know, when we think you got everything just right and worked really hard, and all of a sudden something just goes, drops out of nowhere. And you're like, oh, come on. I worked so hard and look at this. Now what's going to happen? You know, and something tries to steal your joy. So God's not promising that he's going to take away our sorrow, but we can transform it into joy. And that joy is knowing that there is a resurrection. You know, some days seem shorter than others and longer than others. And we think, my goodness, how long is this going to go on? And God's saying, take comfort in me. Go to me and I will give you rest. God wants us to rest in him today. Remember that he knows everything. He knows everything. And some of the disciples have said among themselves, what is this that he says to us a little while, and you will not see me? And again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he says a little while? We do not know what he is saying. So they were upset. Verse 19, we're moving right along here. And Jesus knew they desired to ask him. And he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while you will see me. Verse 20, most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. That's a lot right there, okay? Jesus is making promises. Jesus has a parable to say here, too, in the next verse. It says, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the anguish. For the joy of that human that has been born into the world. You know, as one movie star said, you know, and you remember Carol Burnett, you probably remember her on TV. And she goes, when you're pregnant and having a baby, it's like taking your bottom lip and lifting up over your head. This is a very painful thing to go through. I remember when Kimberly was having her first kid, I remember being there and I was like, never seen a woman turn from yellow to blue to black to red. I mean, it was, birth is a wonderful thing, but I still don't understand why guys just walk back and forth nervous all the time. I'm right there with the woman and I'm like, oh my goodness, I had the easy part. She had the hard part, but it's because of that curse that happened in the Garden of Eden. Remember, God crushed Satan's head at that time. He was defeated. Genesis 3:15. Eventually Christ would go to the cross and destroy Satan. Isn't that great? Satan is like a snake with his head cut off. He can still bite and he's still poisonous. Heard those stories about people getting sick and even some people dying from snake bites afterwards. We have to be careful that that slimy snake is still slithering around seeking whom he may devour. And he's here and he's there and he disappears. But he's always waiting to see. But thank God, Jesus knows all things. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. So Jesus is trying to tell the disciples, look, after a woman has that birth, there's that joy. You know, a woman will not, and I tell you, talking to ladies, they said, oh, I remember the pain very well, but it's the joy of having that child. There is nothing more beautiful than holding that baby in her arms afterwards. And just the blessing it is. And even if a woman couldn't have a child, guess what? She can always go ahead and enjoy somebody else's child and rejoice in that. Because, you know, God is telling the disciples, look, this is a parable. It will be hard at first. Remember, we looked at previously in this chapter that the disciples were told, look, you're going to be persecuted for my sake. Religious leaders, the pagans, the Jewish people are going to come after you. So take heed and rejoice, knowing that your salvation is close. So it says here in verse 22, therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. We looked at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11. So I turn over there, Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. And it says here, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. That means nobody will discourage you. Nobody will interfere with your joy that you have. You know, there are people who try to take away our joy. So we're very thankful for that. We have to be on guard all the time that nobody discourages us. And that's got to be one of the Satan's best tools to discourage people. And we need to encourage one another. It says here that in that day you ask me nothing. Most assuredly, verse 23, I say to you, whatever you ask in my Father's name, he will give to you. Now, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. He can do that if we seek him first in his ways. It says here, until you have asked nothing in my name. Until you have asked nothing in my name. You know, when you ask something in Jesus' name, and this is important because you get a lot of circus actors on TV, pastors and other people trying to say, well, do this in Jesus' name and you'll get what you want, the prosperity gospel. And so we're here to preach the truth. So we see here in Colossians chapter 3, and I'm making a point here, just hold on, chapter 3, verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You do it in the name of him. Back in the day, back in Christ's day, they have insignia rings. And we would call them the signet ring, the ring that goes on the pinky, the family crest. Well, what they would do is that they would go along and they would say, I am a ambassador. I am the king's part of his court, and I have the authority to do it in his name. And they would use that signet ring. They would put that crest on that. Jesus is telling us here that we can do it in his name. So we have to be a representative. Jesus is telling his disciples, don't be discouraged. You will do this in my name. And they did quite a bit. They went many places. All of them did. So we have to remember as representatives, it's not from our own merit. And it's not seeking our own will, but our goal is to what? Glorify God. And, you know, when we do something and we ask God, a lot of times we will say to ourselves, Lord, and I've done this too, you know, why haven't you answered prayer? What is going on here? I am sorrowful because things aren't turning out the way I was hoping them would be. And God's saying, I have something greater, something better. I want you to be faithful where you are. I want you to grow in my grace. I want you to understand why I'm allowing this to happen. I'm with you all the way. But I think God also wants to test my heart when I'm sorrowful. And I think, you know, what is my reply with prayer? Is yes or no or wait. And I think God blesses those who continually to wait upon the Lord. He renews our strength. He lifts us up like eagles over life's circumstances. We can fly over the area in our hearts and our mind and think, Lord, you've lifted me up. I need to be lifted up. I see my circumstances. I see my church. I see my home. I see my work. I see people who I associate with. I see where I go every day. You're always there. You're lifting me up. God wants us to lift us up in his name. So he goes on to say that ask and you will, and that your joy may be full. You know, there are five areas here that we can ask God to help us to go from sorrow to joy. Number one is found in Isaiah chapter 61 in verses 1 through 3. As I turn there, it says, and number one is that he brings beauty out of ashes. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. In a way, that prison is, it can also look at spiritually as sin. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them from the beauty of for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, for he may be glorified. So he can take something that has just awful happened that can turn it into joy. It's in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. And number two, he's able to turn around even the worst situations for the greater for good. In Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21, you see what happened here with Joseph. And remember that, you know, his brothers were very upset at him because that cloak, remember, that he wore, that his dad made for him, that is a symbol of somebody being in authority, okay? You know, as we know, like you may have a foreman on the job, but those colors were a direct insult to the brothers, even though Joseph was, what, highly favored with his father. So it says, we're going to see here about how God works with forgiveness. And we see that Joseph releases his brothers. This is at the time when they were in Egypt. The brothers came back and they were like, oh, you know, does Joseph know who we are? Is recognized. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, when they came back, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all that the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brothers and their sin. They did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to them. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we are your servants." And Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about it is this day to save many people alive. And therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Jacob had died. And therefore, you know, he said, just go back to Joseph. Remember, there was famine in the land. But, you know, what's beautiful about God, and we should have a Christ-like spirit, is to forgive. Because if somebody's wronged us, we could have been that person ourselves. But looking back at what happened with Joseph, he had forgiveness in his heart. And likewise, we should do the same thing. We have to remember we need to forgive those as God has forgiven us. And we see, thirdly, how we can go from sorrow to joy is that he reminds us that he still is in control. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing." It means don't worry about things. For what can you do anyway? Like Jesus said, you know, what can you add to your life? So you just take it one day at a time. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." In other words, pray about it and bring it before God with an open heart and with thanksgiving, and let your requests be known to God. Tell him everything. Tell him everything that's on your heart, mind, and soul, and say, "Lord, I hit a low part in my life. I need you to bring me up because I feel very heavy." And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That's where Satan likes to attack. He likes to attack our hearts because he knows it's deceitful and wicked and desperate. And so, but through God's grace, if we just let him control our hearts, our seat of emotions, and our minds, then we'll see God's blessing and God's hand in our trials that we go through. And then also, fourthly, how to go from sorrow to joy. He never wastes the pain we've experienced. Some of us have gone through much pain and suffering and saying, "What good could that come out of that?" Absolutely. I don't understand. I look at the hospital bills. I look at all the time I had to spend in a hospital. I had to see all the nights I stayed up at night worrying about my loved ones. Why is this going on? And is there any good that's going to come out of this? You know, I'm sure you stayed up all night, many, but not all of you have, one trial or another, and you can't eat in the morning. You have a headache. You feel like you're hungover and you just bloodshot eyes and you're tired. But God says, "Well, wait a minute. Something good is going to come out of that." Psalms 43, verse 5. "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" David writes. "And why are you disquieted within me?" In other words, David, why are you disquieted in the Lord? Why aren't you talking to him? I think the biggest songs in the night, as that it says with the Moody program, Songs in the Night is a beautiful song through the Moody program, that song. Is that it's best times that I've ever had. The best times I've had is that night when I'm laying in bed thinking and praying to the Lord. It says, "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." Those nights that we've laid in bed or wherever we're sitting on the couch or just sitting by the fireplace or in the car or whatever, when you're all alone, or has been the best times, because you're like, "I got to have some time to think." So that is a time that's never wasted, the pain and the suffering, because it draws you closer to God. You know, it makes you tighter with him. And fifthly, his promises hope for a blessing in a future. Turn in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. And I know this, and I'm sure you've heard of this too. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil. And how much do we need peace today? Peace of mind. Oh, yes. If we let him, he will give us peace. Sometimes we have to wait on him because sometimes we just can't get the peace. We might be in traffic. We might have a lot of things on our mind. We're like, where is the peace? Well, first thing comes to mind, just be faithful and keep on doing what you're doing. And God will bring you the peace that you need. Just trust him. Just trust him and obey him. It says, then I will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. Sometimes I look at it as a picture of captivity as sin. You know, we just went the wrong way. You know, Satan just said over here, and God's saying, go straight, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. That looks interesting, you know. And we've all done this. We've all strayed off. And we just get ourselves in trouble. And it's like, oh, what did I do this for? And you make an about face, you repent, and you come right back to the straight and narrow. Because the broad looks really good, and everybody else is doing it. And why not? It sounds good, looks good, of course. Sin always looks good. But God will bring us out of captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you to the place where I caused you to be carried away captive. Of course, it's talking about Jeremiah's time with Babylon. And remember that? Jeremiah was saying, Lord, we're in captivity now. It took us, what, 2 years to go through the book of Jeremiah here. And at that time, God did bring him back. God brought him back to continue to do the work. Jeremiah went through so much. And God understands us today that we go through so much. So there's five areas here. He brings our beauty out of ashes. Number one, he is able to turn around even the worst situations for the greater good. Number three, he reminds us that he still is in control. Number four, he never wastes the pain we've experienced. Number five, he promises hope and blessing for the future. We all have a future, a bright future ahead of us. You know, it may be that God hasn't revealed that to us yet because it's not time. Remember, God's not going to give us anything that's just too much for us to handle at one time. As a body of Christ, we're all growing together in the fullness of him. So we have a blessed promise. The Lord wants to take our sorrow and turn it into joy. Jesus saying to his disciples, look, it's just a matter of hours away. I am going to be arrested. Peter, you're going to come up with a sword and cut off one of the soldier's ears. And I'm going to tell you, get back. And he's going to put that ear back right where it was. And Jesus knew. And let me tell you what, Jesus knew that he was going to be sorrowful. He was sorrowful because he knew that the disciples, the ones sitting there confused and upset, he knew that they were going to leave him. They were going to scatter. The sheep were going to scatter when the shepherd was taken out. So darkness was going to have its time, its hour. And it means hell and all its forces. We're going to have their time. But yet Christ overcame that with the resurrection. So it's an encouragement. So today I pray that, you know, if you're sorrowful in heart, that you will look to the resurrection. You will look to what Jesus told the disciples. You will take comfort in God's word because you need to have a simple outline. I need to have a simple outline in my mind every day. Every day we make plans, we write them down on a blank piece of paper, but it's God who orders our steps. We look upon the Lord for his help. So let me encourage you today. Always look for the best in everything. Look for the greater good, you know, in things. And just like I said with the crocus, with that little purple flower, every year it seems like I seem to find one of them poking up in the soil. It's as cold as it's been. But that little flower comes shooting up. God is saying, I have promises. Just remember, and next month, we're going to be celebrating what? The resurrection of Christ. So we look at nature now, and eventually everything will start resurrecting. And we are going to be resurrected too. So let's take heed with that. At this time, I'm going to give an invitation, and then we are going to get into the Lord's Supper. But let me just pray here too. If you haven't accepted Christ, and this is for the people online, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, in other words, realizing that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior, and Jesus came to this earth to die on the cross for your sin, to be buried, and to be risen again. And remember, you might be like one of these disciples here. And there was one who had already left. His name was Judas. He left because he was all about himself. Get out of yourself today and accept Jesus as your Savior. And realize that he can forgive you and that it's never too late. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Accept him into your heart by faith and what he has done for you.